1 Samuel chapter 30, if you would, for the preaching of God's word. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 tonight. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south. Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came into the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and all the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? He answered, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Thank you, Lord, so much for the Spirit of the Lord that is still moving suddenly. We come before you tonight recognizing we are a needy people. And Lord, I think of the prayer requests that have been mentioned already, and the number of folks that are burdened about things on their hearts and minds tonight. I do pray, God, that you will give us something from your word tonight that will help us to live in a world that is anti-God and anti-Christian and anti-Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege that we have to know you, to walk with you, and to serve you. Take me out as your vessel tonight. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit, that I might preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. There's no way I can do the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Bless now the preaching of thy word in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all God's children said, Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'd like to ask you a few questions tonight. And if you agree with me, just say amen. The first question tonight is this. Is discouragement real? Have you ever felt in your life like everything is going wrong? Let me ask you another question. Does it ever seem to you like nobody understands what you're going through? Life is full of discouragement. I wish I could say that these types of difficulties will only step into the lives of those that are not saved, those that are outside of the faith, those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I would say to you tonight that for the believer, I'm talking about the blood-washed, heaven-bound, saved child of God, discouragement is a reality. We find ourselves in the life of the man David. David was not a rebel. David was not a renegade. David was not someone who was outside of God. David was God's man. Amen? David was the man that God had chosen. David was the one who was the sweet psalmist of Israel. David was the one who was God's choice to replace King Saul. David was the one who killed Goliath. David was the one who was a servant and a shepherd before he ever became king. Listen to me. David was God's man. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 27, a few chapters prior to our text, David has gotten to the point where he's tired. He's absolutely frustrated. He's gotten to the point where he's He's fed up with the fact he's got to run to a new location. And everywhere he goes, he's worried about his life being taken. He's worried about Saul destroying him. Saul has been the one that's been rejected by God. David has been the one that's been chosen by God. But yet, David is running in fear. And he gets to the point to where he is discouraged. He finds himself in 1 Samuel 27. The Bible says David's asking all these questions. Shall I perish in one day by the hand of Saul? There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. In spite of the fact God had chosen David. In spite of the fact God's hand was on David. In spite of the fact that God had anointed David. In spite of the fact that God had made great promises to David. David's circumstances and the things around him caused him to doubt the all-seeing, all-powerful, ever-present, all-knowing God. And David finds himself worried about his life. I have no choice but to flee to the enemy, to the camp of the Philistines. Here is God's man running for his life. He finds himself going to the camp of the Philistines. And of course, you find this at Gath, where he comes and approaches King Achish there of the Philistines. And there he is. And David remembers when he had once been with the Philistines and that doubt that came amongst them. They didn't trust him and they were about ready to kill him. And he remembered that. So he didn't want to stay in that capital city. So he asked for a city of his own. And those Philistines gave him the city of Ziklag. It was a city right outside of Israel, and this city was given unto David. There David abode in Ziklag, but abode with the Philistines for 16 months, the Bible says, verse number 7. A full year and 4 months while with the Philistines. He led raids. He led conquests. He won battles. He fought conflicts like he was so accustomed to fighting. But in chapter 28, David found himself in a very awkward predicament. Now he was amongst the enemies, but the enemies, the Philistines, were getting ready to fight his own people, the Israelites. Imagine lodging with the enemies while your enemies are about to fight your own people. And here David was perplexed. He was caught in the middle. Should he abandon them and risk his life? Should he go back to the Israelites where he wasn't exactly sure who was for him? He's got this band of 600 men who say we're with David, but you still got others that are with Saul and there's a division. Yes, he's king, but not everybody has accepted that. He finds himself in the middle of this plight. Meanwhile, Saul is trying to find God's mind on the matter. And Saul cries out to God, doesn't get an answer, and you remember this story. He seeks out a witch. Finds a woman with a familiar spirit. Calls her out and begins to ask her, exactly what should I do? And of course he brings up Samuel, and somehow Samuel gets brought up with this woman with a familiar spirit. And when Saul looking for Samuel to get a good word, Samuel basically tells him, buddy, you're done. You're finished. God's done with you. You shouldn't have done what you've done. You've messed up on God. You've rejected God. And of course, we find out after that, Saul ends up departing. And in chapter 29, these Philistines begin to start thinking about this matter and thinking, well, I don't really know if we want David around. Can we really trust David? Isn't this the same David that killed Goliath? Isn't this the same David that slain his tens of thousands? Isn't this the same David that has been the man after God's own heart? Isn't this same David that's supposed to replace Saul that used to serve Saul? It might not be wise to have David around. So contrary to David's willingness to go with the enemy to battle, they sent him back to Ziklag. And when he got back to Ziklag, he found the city that he called home in a mess. An absolute mess. Nothing he expected was in place. Everything he never imagined had happened. It seemed like everything was falling apart. It seemed like everything was in a mess. It seemed like discouragement showed up at his door. It seemed like nobody understood him. Nobody was there beside him. As a matter of fact, when he got back, not only did he find the city was in a mess, but his own people that were supposed to be with him decided, we're going to stone you because of what we found, and we're mad at you, and it's all your fault. Now picture with me now. Here he has been away from home. He was siding with the enemies, about to fight his own friends. He ends up getting dismissed. He ends up coming back home and finding nothing like he thought it would be. Have you ever walked up to a scene and expected it to be fine and found out it was in a mess? That's not a very, very comfortable position to be in. Yet it is where David found himself. You've got to understand, there were no spouses for him around for him to confide in. The people were about ready to stone him. The enemy was ready to kill him. He had no friends. He had nobody to talk to. He couldn't call up a counselor. He couldn't phone a friend. He couldn't get pastoral counsel. He couldn't get anybody to encourage him. He couldn't get anybody to pick him up. He found himself in solitude. He found himself in destitution. It seemed like nobody understood him. It seemed like nobody could feel what he was feeling. It seemed like nobody could identify what he was going through. But I want you to understand this wonderful, wonderful statement in the Word of God. The Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me say that again. He encouraged himself in the Lord. You see, David couldn't plan on it. And David necessarily couldn't predict it. And David couldn't exactly be prepared for it, per se. But David found himself in a predicament where he could not get help from anybody. Where he could not get an ear from anybody. Where he could not get an encouraging word from anybody. He found himself in a situation where nobody understood him. Where nobody could feel what he was feeling. Where nobody was in a position where he was in. But somehow, he didn't call a friend. He didn't phone somebody familiar. He didn't look up some witch, some soothsayer, some psychic, or some palm reader. He didn't get on the phone. He didn't tweet anybody. He didn't update his status. He found himself encouraging himself in the Lord. Can I say to you, my friend, tonight, if you admitted with me that discouragement is real, and yes, it is. If you admitted to me that you're familiar and acquainted with situations where it seems like nobody knows what you're going through. Pastor Mike mentioned just a few moments ago that every pew has on it a broken heart. How many of you know that we don't always say what we're going through? We don't always tell people what we're facing. Sometimes we sit in church for an hour and a half and we don't express the turmoil that's on our mind and the burdens that we're carrying and the situations that nobody knows that we're going through. Sometimes we sit in church after we fought the devil all day long. I would dare say there are many in here tonight whose prayer requests don't necessarily get on the prayer list, whose burdens aren't necessarily articulated. There are some in here who are battling financial struggles, who are dealing with family difficulties, who are struggling with physical illnesses, who are battling difficulties and relationship issues that are not necessarily communicated, are not necessarily heard, are not necessarily identified. With. There are some of you here today, you couldn't tell somebody, they wouldn't understand. You couldn't say it, they wouldn't believe you. You couldn't communicate it, it wouldn't be allowed. You can't share it, you're not at liberty. You can't talk about it, it's not your place. But it doesn't change the fact, you go to bed with that burden, you get up with that struggle, you go to work with that battle, you fight those situations. My friend, I want to tell you, there comes times in your life where there's nobody on the list that you can call. There's nobody in your contact list in the phone that can understand you. There is nobody in church who can necessarily identify with your need. There comes a time where you don't need a pick-me-up from your friend. You don't need some poem quoted off the internet. You don't need some familiar phrase said that will somehow pump up your mind. There comes a time in your life where you've got to know God well enough to find Him in the prayer closet, to find Him in the good old-fashioned Bible. You've got to know enough about God to say, I don't need mama, I don't need daddy, I don't need husband, I don't need wife, I don't need friend, I don't need lawyer, I don't need doctor, I don't need counselor, I need God. You got to know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. In the middle of the night, somebody ain't going to wake up and answer the phone. And if they are, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. I'll tell you, if you don't react properly to this thing called discouragement, it will lead to defeat. And I'm going to tell you, listen. God never told preachers to tell people you won't have problems. But what he did say, you won't have a problem that he can't handle. I'm not here to tell you tonight you won't struggle. But I'm telling you, you can be cast down but not forsaken. I'm not here to tell you tonight that it's always going to be a good day. But I'm here to tell you that God's always going to be a good God. And I can't convince you today that tomorrow won't show you some things you didn't plan on. And this year won't introduce you some things you're not accustomed to. But I can tell you this. When you find yourself secluded away from all the world's troubles and get yourself out of all the world's predicaments and you find yourself in the shadow of the Almighty, when you've got a key that opens the door to the secret place of Almighty God, you don't need a friend beside you. You don't need a mama over top of you. You don't need an arm around you. All you need is Jehovah God to show up on your behalf, and somebody that knows God can encourage himself in the Lord. It's Wednesday night, you can say amen. These are real deal battles. And I am not so ignorant as to overlook the struggles of God. This is God's man. God's choice. He's going to sit on the throne. Yes, he is. He's going to rule. Yes, he is. He's meant to be in Jerusalem. There's coming a day where the whole kingdom will bow down before him. But the road there is going to be a bumpy one. Let me tell you, look. You're going to heaven if you're a child of God. The devil can't change that. Listen. There's coming a day the trumpet's going to sound. The devil can't change that. We're going to swing on the gates of prayer. The devil can't change that. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm going to eat off the tree of life. The devil can't change that. I want you to know something. God's going to give me joy. And God's going to give me peace. And I am going to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Listen, I'm going to live in a mansion. You say, well, I don't believe all. Hey, let me tell you, I believe it all. I'm going to live in a mansion. We're going to sit with God for the rest of eternity. And we're going to be in a place where there's no need for lamps and flashlights and high beams and light bulbs. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to light up heaven. At the Bible says 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles long. I'm talking about a big place. Jesus is going to light up the whole place. It's all going to happen. But the road on the way. We know what the Bible says. Sure we do. We're familiar with the promises of God. But the circumstances between the promise and the fulfillment often breed discouragement. And when doubt surfaces, this is when you start to question the promises of God. Come on. Anybody ever question God? No, I've never questioned God. Well, at least we know you don't question God. You just lie about questioning God. But see, everybody questions God. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, because you're not like God yet. And you're going to question him. But you know what? You know what God's saying? The same person that questioned God is the same person need to tell the same person stop questioning God. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying sometimes you need to talk to yourself before the preacher ever gets in the pulpit. You need to get on yourself before your husband ever tells you anything. You need to get on yourself before you ever call somebody. Sometimes you need to grab your own ear by your hand and you need to tell yourself, self, why art thou cast down? Why art thou forsaken? Why art thou discouraged? Let them come. Let them talk. Let them chase. Let them spit. Let them attack me. Let them criticize me. I've got a God that still loves me. I'm going to encourage myself. I'm not calling nobody. I'm not setting up no appointments. I'm going to get myself right with God. I know enough Bible. I've learned enough. God's been there enough for me. Goliath could have killed me. Saul could have slain me. My brothers could have knocked me down. I don't believe he's brought me this far to leave me now. I know you're struggling, but guess what? So does God. You ever thought about calling him? Got all them numbers and dropping all them requests. Have you ever thought about putting your bid in on Jesus' list? Encouraging yourself in the Lord. Let me give you three quick thoughts tonight. I hope it helped you. It helped me. Why don't you look at the sad circumstances here? Listen. Imagine getting back home and finding, watch this, the conflicting foes have come to your city. There's a consuming fire that's left the city smoldering in flames. There's captivated families. Your wives and sons and daughters have been taken. And to make matters worse, you've got critical followers. So not only has what you couldn't control gotten messed up, but who was supposed to be on your side done turned on you too. This is what he came back to Ziklag looking at. Can you imagine being released from battle, sent home from war, only to find out that the home that you went to get some rest is on fire. And the family that you longed to see has been kidnapped. And the enemies that you can't stand have invaded you while you were gone. And then your roll dogs about to stone you. These men got back home and found out our wives gone. Our kids gone. Our houses burned down. David, we about to kill you. This is where he was. This is where he was. Hey. You ever got a call you didn't expect? Has anything you ever thought to be dear, have you ever come home or got home from work or got a phone call or got an email or read a text to find out that things that matter the most to you are on fire? The things that have mattered the most to you have been taken away. Has the devil ever walked into your life and stole your family or stole your goods or stole your job? Has the Lord ever allowed somebody to come in and set the things that matter the most to you on fire? And instead of walking home to an entourage of people that are glad to see you, you walk home to a smoldering heap of ruin. Here he is. And there some of you are. You know, you can't always assume that because someone doesn't say anything that everything's fine. And by the way, sometimes people that say the least are going through the most. And the people that say the most are going through the least. Could I borrow? Amen. But wait a minute. It's okay not to communicate all of your problems. But if in not communicating them, you result in discouragement, you better talk to somebody. And here's where David was. He was on the brink of discouragement turning into defeat. Then the Bible said, but. Somebody thank God for the buts in the Bible. Amen. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Aren't you glad that just when he thought it was over, God said, oh, no, it's not. Aren't you glad that when it looked like the final chapter had been written, that God said, no, it's not. Hey, let me tell you something. The writers can close the book and put the end. But how many of you know that God has the authority to open back the book up, erase the end, and add another chapter on your behalf? So here's David encountering a set of sad circumstances. But aren't you glad he found a sure,
comfort. Hey, David, look, this is what I like with this passage. Said. Look at it now. But David, are you there in chapter 30, verse number 6? Is it? But David encouraged, let's read it together. But David, it's at the end, encouraged himself in the Lord. Wait a minute, wait. It would have been good enough if it stopped right there. But it didn't stop. Somebody say amen. You don't even know what it said yet, but say amen in advance. Amen. It didn't stop there. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah for that. But it doesn't stop there. It said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Finish the last two words. His God. Say it again. Turn to somebody beside you and say, He's my God. No. You don't sound like you mean it. Say it. He's my God. Say it again. He's my God. Hey, let me tell you something. David said, I'm not just going to phone up what's the name friend and what's the name bank person. And he said he would be a pretty good situation. And they told me, you good at getting people out of these problems. David said, I'm going to call on somebody. You know what he's saying? This is not the first time I've prayed. This is not the first time I've dialed this number. This is not the first time I've been to this spot. This is not the first time I've called his name. I remember him back when I was watching sheep. I remember him at the Valley of Elah. I remember him when Saul threw a javelin at me. I remember him when I was being pursued. I remember him when the enemy said no. I remember him when people turned on me. I remember him when the Philistines tried to kill me. I'm not phoning up a new friend. I'm not dialing a new number. I'm not checking out a new source. I'm not introducing myself to a new stranger. I'm talking to the Lord. He's not their God or some God or one God. He's my God. Let me tell you something. You better have a personal relationship. Oh, somebody said, well, I don't know how to encourage myself in the Lord. It might be because you don't know the Lord. You might be saved. That don't mean you know Him. You might know Him positionally. Yeah, that's grace and mercy. Yeah. But when you know Him practically, hey, you know Him positionally, that's relationship. You know Him practically, that's fellowship. We walk in the light as He is in the light. His blood cleanses us from all sin. You know what He's talking about? He's talking to Christians right there. Hey, listen, you don't get saved by walking into the light. You get saved by realizing you can't walk into the light. And Jesus is the light. And you put your faith in the light. And He shines your light on your dark soul. That's how you get saved. But by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast, not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Galatians says, by the works of the flesh is no man justified. Let me tell you something. You're not saved by what you do. You're saved by what Jesus did. But once the soul-saving mercy and grace of God shines down the light upon your hell-bound soul and you meet Jesus Christ as your Savior, you learn to love Him as your friend. And here's David. My God. Let me ask you a question. The next time you get discouraged, is He yours? Well, you just don't know what I'm going through. Is He yours? You just don't know. I haven't told you. Did you tell Him? You can tell Him secrets. He won't tell. Amen. And people like that hard to find. Some people advertise to be able to stay whole secrets. They're the worst ones. I don't tell them nothing. Don't tell them. No. If they got to tell you how much they don't tell, they tell. Amen. Can't hold water. Now, some people advertise. Got on the website. The non-secret teller. Stay away. All right? But I'm going to tell you something. Aren't you glad that God is a burden bearer? And He's a heavy load sharer. And He's comfort when you're lonely and bread when you're hungry. He's water when you're thirsty. He's a bridge over troubled waters. He's peace in the midst of the storm. Aren't you glad? He's a friend to the friendless. He's a mother to the motherless. The psalmist said, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me afraid of. In Psalm 56, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In Psalm 121, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord. He said in Psalm 56, this I know, God is for me. He said in Psalm 18, he said, the Lord is on my side. What can man do unto me? He said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He said in Psalm 139, whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I fly in the wings of the morning, thou art there. If I take my bed and make my address down in hell, even thou art there. He said, you know why? Because when I was yet a fetus, an embryo in my unmasked skeletal form, God orchestrated my conception and directed my way through the birthing canal. I didn't evolve from a monkey. Mom and daddy didn't bring this to pass. The hand of God formed me and shaped me and molded me. And if he knew me as a fetus, rest assured, he knows me as a grown man. He's my God. When the last time you got along with your God? He said it's a personal relationship that leads me to a passionate request. God, shall I chase him? Verse number 8. Shall I pursue after this troop? God, they took my wife. They took our kids. They burnt our city. They invaded our homes. Shall I pursue? Now, the words "shall I pursue" are David's catch-all statement for all of us. What we really should be asking God, what should I do? It's important to ask that question. Otherwise, you might be guilty of lashing. Huh? Lashing back. Watch it. Getting bitter. Taking matters into your own hand. Quitting. Getting disgusted. Just giving up. Anybody ever felt like giving up? Raise your hand. All right? So this is where... Wait. Before you make a move, check with the boss. Amen. Shall I? Shall I? I know what I feel like doing, but shall I? If left up to me, I'm getting ready to go out and apply here, but shall I? This is for sale here, and we like to buy it, but shall I? They accepted me in this college, but shall I? It looks like the financial specs are going to work out, but shall I? He's a pretty cute guy, and better than anyone else I've met before, but shall I? I've got some children that are rebelling, and I know what my reflex says, but shall I? My friend, it's about time we got God back in on the equation. We got God's advice, God's will, God's mind, God's direction. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. Listen, acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Shall I? It's a good question to ask. Most of the time, we're not asking God, shall I? We're asking God, can you? That's after we didn't say, shall I? And we did what I should have asked, shall I, about? And without shalling I, we did it anyway. And now we messed up. And now we dialing 911. God would much rather keep you out of emergency than come saving you all the time. Amen. And a lot of messages we get in, God delivered me. Thank you. I knew he'd be there for me. That's mercy. Don't go there again. Don't go to that spot. Amen. It's not that God won't hear your call next time. He might hear it and hit the ignore. Because his mercy doesn't always go all the way. Sometimes he cuts it off because you know better. Some of the mess we're in, we got in. Amen. And by the way, some Christians think since God got them out, it justifies why they got in. Amen. Well, it turned out all good. I guess it wasn't sin. No, it was mercy in spite of your sin. Amen. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Just because the results of your bad judgment turned out okay doesn't mean God wasn't fed up and perturbed with that mess. Amen. Shall I? It's a passionate request. Personal relationship. A promising response. Go ahead, Dave. And guess what, son? You're going to recover everything. And listen now. The shall I is David's representing us. Saying, God, what should I do? The pursue, thou shalt recover all, is God representing himself saying, it's all good. I don't know about you. I'd like to hear that from God. Hey, that's why you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. So God can help you know it's okay. I see God, you know what God said? I see the smoke. I know where your wives and sons and daughters are. I know what your city looks like. I know what kind of mess you in. Matter of fact, I know where the enemy is. Gone, David. Hey, let me tell you something. You know what happens when you encourage yourself in the Lord? It keeps you from dwelling in a pity party. Well, now, look, that seems to be number one option on the list sometimes. Oh, me, oh, my, nobody knows the trouble I feel. God said, wrong, I do. Amen. And if you ask me, shall I, I'll tell you what to do. Amen. And so, when God responds and he gives us, and by the way, aren't you glad that God gives us a promising response? By the way, Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But let me say, as I say all the time, not only are the steps ordered by the Lord, the stops are too. Okay, so God orders the steps and the stops. And sometimes God said no. And by the way, whenever there's a no, there's a greater yes around the corner. So God is saying no sometimes. But this time he said yes, yes. Pursue. And it's his way of saying, it's all going to be fine. It's going to be okay. You're going to recover all. You know what he's saying? I know what your money looks like. I know what the doctor said. I know what your enemies are doing. But he's saying, get up off your knees and stop pouting and stop sulking and stop whining and stop complaining. Get up and go to battle. It's going to work out. Sad circumstances. Sure comfort. Lastly, successful conquest. Boy, look at David here. Struggling. But God said, go get him, Dave. Go get him. Go get him. Them little 600 men you got, go get him. Go get him. Yeah, I know. Go get him. And I like verse number 9. So David went. Hey, listen. When you ask God a question, he answers. Get up and do what he said. God, what should I do? Go fight. But God, what you ask for? You know what I found out? Sometimes we ask a question, but we have already made up our mind what the answer should be. When you were still back with the Philistines. I knew the city was burning. I saw the Amalekites coming in. And matter of fact, I let them come and take your wives and kids. I know what's going on, but I said, go pursue them. And I like the fact that David went, and the Bible said, and the 600 men, verse 9, that were with him, he came to the brook Besor, or where those that were left behind stayed. Now notice verse number 10. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook. Now watch this now. We're already outnumbered. And 1/3 of the army, 2 times. Only out of 600. And 200 out of 600 is out of energy. Now watch this. And it's just like God. While they are at the brook, Besor,
coincidentally.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally, an Amalekite had an Egyptian servant that got sick. 3 days
and not left. Because the master didn't want food.
The Lord has a way. Smooth. The Lord, preacher around the country, sometimes I have to do this anyway. I just like to use both of my hands. Would you walk around and hold the mic for me? I'm just kidding. All right. Just seeing if you were going to do it. All right. God has a way of leaving an Egyptian in a field just for you. Now, am I the only one who's ever walked up on God's providence and known that ain't no way this could have happened unless God did it? Have you ever been in a situation where it's no way that he ended up right there and happened to be exactly what I needed to find at this time? And if I had been on the scheduled arrival the day before, he wouldn't have been here and wouldn't have had what I just so happened to need at that time that will help me do. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm telling your business right now. God has shown up and said somebody who shouldn't have been there. Hey, let me tell you something. God was in it when that Amalekite master got that servant from wherever he got him from. God was in it then. And that man may not have realized why he was a slave. But way back when he came into slavery, God had ordained that that master get him. Because long down the road, God's child would show up in that same field where that Egyptian servant would minister to the child of God and may never be named in the Bible again. But how many of you know God can take a lost man to help a saved man so a good God can get the glory? Here he is. I like this mic. Here he is. Walked in. Listen, when you encourage yourself in the Lord, you walk in on providence that you would have otherwise missed. What if David had said, then I took my wife and took my hand, I'm going to get them guys. Where you going, David? I don't know, but I'm going to ride this horse till I find him. Let me tell you something. You talk about 200 men tired. By the time he found them, all 600 would have been tired, including David himself. But God led him right to the right spot. I'm telling you, beloved, stay encouraged. Stay on your knees. Stay in the Word. Stay in the choir. Stay in the ministry. Stay giving. Stay soul winning. Stay praising. Stay worshiping. You may not be able to figure it out. You may not be able to add it up. You may not be able to force see your end. It may not make sense. It may not seem logical. It may have never happened. But right in a field you've never been in, there's going to be a man you never thought you met. And just when you need it, all he's going to ask you is for a little bit of figs and a little bit of juice. And in exchange, he's going to take you to the enemy. Somebody say amen. And here's God working out on David's behalf.
providence. Let me hurry. Not only was there providence, but God gave power. They were able to defeat the Amalekites. That God led them to where they were. The God said, promise me, David, you ain't going to kill me. I got you, man. Just tell me where your boy's at. In exchange for a little bit of secrets, we'll let you live. Amen. I'll tell too. Save my life. So would you. Brought him down, found him, smote him. Hey, the last thing the Amalekites thought they were going to see in the middle of a victory party was David and the boys. And let me tell you something. When you encourage yourself in the Lord, you know what God lets you do? Bust up the devil's parties. Oh, I wish I had time to put my foot on this thing tonight. Listen, we got to get pastor going to find out if we ended at 8:30 when he was gone. All right, so I got to hurry. We didn't change the time. He's going to say we can put it back 30 minutes, get out at the same time. All right, now so let me hasten. I know some of y'all going to text him. Soon we get our sermon.
Pastor, it is officially 8:57, and they just closed in prayer. Hurry back, Pastor.
So let me hasten, not to mention my mom here. Praise God. Jesus. All right. They recovered all. God showed providence. God showed his power. God allowed them to get provisions. They got all. Listen, not only did they get everything they took, but they got a bunch of spoils too. But Malachi had some good stuff. Hey, sometimes God let the enemy beat you up so that you can get a hold of him and go back and get them and get more from them than they took from you. Amen. Hey, you ever gotten a mess and came out better? Amen. Oh, no, I wrecked my car. Thank God, turn that insurance, send that money. You might drive a better. I got sick. Listen to me. While you got sick, you might have gotten spiritual. Amen. Go back and thank God for the sickness. Somebody got on my nerves. Well, bless God, you finally got a prayer life. Somebody told me today, I need people getting on my nerve, but I've been praying more than I ever prayed. Say, thank you, Jesus. You're going to come out with more than you did. You mad? Oh, I can't believe they came in my house and stole. Some of that stuff was trash anyway. Your husband tell you get rid of it for months. No, this is a family heirloom. Well, thank God the robber came and stole it. Get some of that clutter out of your life so God can get you some quality stuff. Whew, boy, I could take time on this. Yeah, I know. Yeah, y'all saying that. You say your wife's going to text pastor. All right. Providence, power, provision, and privileges. A little bit of complainers in the mix. Well, we don't think that the 200 dudes that stayed back got tired should eat. David said we win and lose as a team. Everybody's going to eat. Amen. And by the way, when the stuff wasn't yours in the first place and the grace of God let you find it, stop dictating who you're going to share it with. I better close this thing one up because y'all know I'm meddling now. It's amazing how we can walk in on the grace of God and get protective. Didn't deserve it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You've been so good to me. May I have some? No. Wait a minute. It didn't have your name on it. You walked in on the grace of God. Lost, clueless, blind. Didn't turn into a good restaurant. Didn't even know where you were going. You better invite somebody with you. They were tired because they were working. We all win as a team. Amen. Thank God that David, in the most dire straits, figured out how to encourage himself in the Lord. Let's do the same. Our Father, thank you. I'm looking at hurting people tonight, whether I know it or not. Life is real. Yes, real. It's really real. People struggling, hurting, and battling all kinds of mess and turmoil. And some are just not the communicative type. They don't always say. They don't always feel like they could put it away where people would understand. Some people are strong natured and don't want to bother people. But we can't let discouragement turn into defeat. If we don't want to tell anybody, we got to know how to tell Jesus. Because he knows just how much we can bear. Speak to our hearts during this invitation time and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.